We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Saw him today through the bullpen, and first day out. For the first day out, you're supposed to be crude, like a lot of guys were. But when he hit his spot, you know, and that delivered us together, the outcome was electric. And I think Jonathan Lucroy was his catcher, and I went over and complimented him because, you know, their ball was having a lot of action. So very excited after his time away to get him back in uniform and competing and can have a terrific contribution to our team.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
Thanks for hanging out. Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Been a fun show so far. Just had the director of the new Patrice O'Neill documentary, in addition to Patrice's fiance, on the show. Had Flew LeBorg as our sports correspondent. You can listen to it on the Radio.com Rewind feature, top of the 3 o'clock hour, because I don't really know how to describe what that 18 minutes was. And also had Kyle Hendricks on the show. But Michael Kopech is back. He's got some flow. I saw some video of him throwing. That happens, Spiegs, as pitchers and catchers report. They often play catch and stretch and do those sort of things.
Tell me about the flow, though. I'm interested in your take on the flow, Parkins.
I've seen him do better, and I didn't see him like with the hat off to get the full, you know, but he had some lettuce coming out the back of the hat that kind of flared out a little bit down at the shoulder blade. So he seems to have grown his hair out, and that's my preferable Michael Kopech.
That's the one you like.
I didn't like High and Tight. Yeah, it felt too corporate, too buttoned up, too clean. I like, man, this dude can throw 102 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. He looks like he was like an extra in Fast Times at Ridgemont High or something like
that. Sure,
I love it.
You like when he goes full Syndergaard, you know?
Yes.
I totally understand. Or full Lincecum. Either way. I like the one that is active, that is part of things. Healthy is good, but also willing and opting in and present. It is remarkable just how little the man has pitched in the amount of calendar space that we have had to watch him, to discuss him, to expect him, to celebrate him, to get ready for him. I remember Kopech night, you know, late in that baseball season and that excitement. And then it rained, so he didn't actually pitch that much. You remember that?
Bonding experience for Tanny and I. That was Tanny and I down the left field line at the
Craft Beer Cave.
Well, until he left me to go buy beers for people so they would like them. We had a really nice night up until that point.
He left you to go buy listeners. Yeah. That's what he was doing.
It's a good investment.
Wait a minute. I brought you with me. You were in the Craft Cave as well, and I bought you beers as well. Did I not? I didn't leave you. That's a mischaracterization.
I don't know. If you left him alone at any point, as if he was just an accessory, like he was
there
a
was
handbag.
A time, yeah. There was a time when we weren't together.
And
that is true.
There you go. He's like, hey, did I ever introduce you to Mark Carmen? Then he walks away. Like, what is that?
Did you ever get to meet Mark Carmen? I mean,
no, that was the first time.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Introducing you to celebrities. You're welcome. Not a big deal. I'm happy to do it.
But seriously, like, how little has Michael Kopech pitched for the amount of time that we have known him and known about the story and discussed? It's remarkable. And the fact that if he spends another, 4 weeks in the minors, essentially, the White Sox could have control for yet another season.
A decade,
essentially. We're looking at a 31-year-old Michael Kopech just emerging from arbitration, conceivably.
I obviously hope they do right by him as a guy who just lost a year of his prime and therefore they delaying his free agency because of personal stuff. I don't know what his arm will be like. It seems to make sense for him to continue to build up strength and start in the minor leagues. But if he is right, like if they're going to have him not in the rotation and be a bullpen piece, I'd love it if the Sox did right by him and not service time manipulate on Michael Kopech for the extra year. Just because the only reason his free agency is delayed a year anyway is because of all the stuff that happened in his personal life. That's probably me being way too idealistic and unlikely, but I'd love to see that happen for Michael Kopech.
I think it's entirely conceivable that that could happen. I don't know that how altruistic the reasoning would be, but I do know that they're trying to win every single game on their way to the playoffs and a potential World Series appearance. That's the goal as set by Rick Hahn, and that is an asset that you should have in your bullpen as soon as conceivably ready. And Rick Hahn talked about it very specifically yesterday. He made a really interesting comp. Did you hear the one player that he brought up as a comp as he discussed it yesterday?
I mean, I was on the Zoom press conference,
yes,
and I forgot.
That's so, okay. It's good.
Yeah, but we have the audio. I know that.
All right. Yeah. Well, we can let's listen and if he doesn't drop it in this particular clip, I'll bring it up after. But it's probably in there as he talked about Michael Kopech and how they might use him this year.
He's physically and mentally in a really good spot right now. We're going to sit down with Michael and go through with him the plan for the next several weeks and several months. I'm not going to get into too much detail about that publicly until we have the chance to talk things through with Michael directly. Obviously, with the intake protocols, this is our first chance to be face-to-face today. But in general, a couple of things to keep in mind. One, we still view Michael as having the potential to be a premium starter long-term. But two, we got to be cognizant of a couple of things. One, he obviously, having not faced hitters in the last 2 years, does not have an innings base underneath him right now, a significant innings base to build off of. The second thing we need to be aware of is we want him, as a team with fairly lofty expectations, we want him strong and contributing through October. So we have to be a little bit creative about how we're going to use him in order to get him helping us in Chicago and continuing his development and finishing the year strong and able to contribute ideally to a World Series championship. So we have some thoughts on that. We're going to sit down with Michael and go through them, and we're going to come up with a plan here together for how we're going to do that. Long term, we still view him as a premium starter and look forward to him fulfilling that potential in a White Sox uniform over the next several years.
That's what I was wondering about, and they're not going to commit to it now, and they shouldn't, but there's no reason for me to believe that Michael Kopech can still not be a front-end starting pitcher. So I don't know if he's going to spend time in the bullpen or if they're going to have a six-man rotation or if they're going to rotate the fifth starter and like how unconventional they're going to be and what his innings limit will be. But I see no reason, until actually given a baseball reason, to downgrade what Michael Kopech can be in the future. And to me, until I see, like, because everyone's like, oh, he's been away for so long and he hasn't pitched that many innings and personal stuff. Man, his stuff is incredible. So until he fails as a baseball player, I still think that he is on the track towards being a top half of the rotation frontline starting pitcher.
I think he absolutely is. I think he absolutely is. But I think that they have put themselves in a situation where they don't have to force that hand, especially early on here. And that dovetails nicely with a plan to maximize his usage in the latest part of the season when it matters the most. And the guy that Hahn did bring up yesterday, not part of that clip there, was Julio Urias of the Dodgers. The left-handed starter in the long term, starter in his earliest days with the Dodgers, a arm surgery victim who had to take a forced year off, who came back and was slowly nurtured through, and because of the depth and excellence of the Dodgers rotation, was able to be a malleable piece as a bullpen guy, often as a starter where the innings were very carefully watched. And by the time they got to the pennant run and the playoffs, Urias could be a starter. Or a three innings in the middle of a bullpen game, dominant guy, or go even longer than that, as he did in some of the World Series games coming out of the pen. A weapon, just a multifaceted weapon who could simply slide into the rotation if needed. But because of the possibility of Carlos Rodon, Ronaldo Lopez, you know, they don't have to worry about Kopech being that guy right away. I think you're going to see a very low usage Michael Kopech up until middle of July, something like that. And it you know, used out of the pen and stuff, but very low usage, so those innings are saved for the second half of the year.
Yeah, and that makes so much sense, man. Like, they have so much depth, right? But Lance Lynn is on a one-year deal. So that's the other part of it. Like, so for this year, right, it's we do this all the time with football. It's like big picture, little picture, micro, macro. For this season, they're not really relying on Michael Kopech. But if he's awesome, then it's a huge weapon for him. But I do think for the next 5 years, they are really relying on Michael Kopech. But for this year, Giolito, Keuchel, Lynn, Cease, and then all the guys you mentioned kind of competing
in and
around for the fifth, Rodon, Lopez, Kopech, all of them competing for the fifth starter job, that's amazing. Like that is starting pitching depth that is very rare in baseball. It's not the best rotation in the big leagues, but it's got to be what? Top five or six, I would think. Lance Lynn's been a top six Cy Young guy the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Giolito, an all-star. Keuchel, the model of consistency. And then a bunch of young dudes with live arms and upside. I would certainly it's a top 10 rotation in baseball.
Yeah, I think top 10 is probably feasible, but at the back end of that top 10, because Dylan Cease is not a proven commodity to anyone, and people don't know about Kopech's health, and Rodon and Lopez, I think, remain projects at this time. But top three is great. You know, you put that top three up against very, very few other top threes as you talk about it, and that'll matter. You know what's really interesting? I don't think we know yet, and Tanny, the host of Locked On Sox, can hop in if he's heard more or inferred more, what the overall bullpen plan is for, like, bullpen games for the Tony La Russa, Kurt Hassler, Ethan Sanchez mindset. We learned it last year. We saw the Don Cooper, Rick Renteria mindset, which was every once in a while they'll throw out a reliever to do an inning or two, and they'll save themselves Matt Foster to be the bulk guy, or they'll send out Foster to start and hope they get 2 to 3 innings from him. And even in the playoffs, they chose for game three to have it be a Dane Dunning game, but it's really a bullpen game, and I think Renteria mishandled the hell out of that. How much of that we saw last year was organizational philosophy from the front office that will be brought to La Russa and Ethan Katz to interpret and further? And how much of that was Renteria and Cooper? How much of it is left as a blank slate for La Russa, who's always been very creative as a pitching guy? He and Dave Duncan were hugely important. So I don't know how much of it is a blank slate at this point. Tanny, do you have a feel for it?
You know, I think now they have some creative leeway because they have guys like Crochet who you're trying to build up, but also they're such great weapons coming out of the bullpen. So I think they have flexibility there where they can use them in different spots as they see fit. But I wouldn't put too much stock into how they did that wild card game, because that was more out of necessity. You're talking about Dane Dunning, who was on the, you know, basically he had hit his wall after his Tommy John, you know, rehab and coming back from that. And they sort of had to bullpen it, but it was with a manager who had no experience doing that type of thing. And the thing to remember about La Russa is, at least when he was with the Cardinals, you know, we know about him, you know, inventing the modern bullpen and this and that, but he loved matchups in the bullpen when he was with the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, playing a game out, you know, you know, first thing he does in the morning, try to figure out how you're going to win that game. Where are the matchups, pitcher versus hitter, that he's going to want to see late in the game? So it could be a situation where everyone's on call on that particular night, and not so much here's a guy that's going to be the opener. It's going to be, okay, I like this guy against this part of the lineup, this guy against that part, and, you know, we'll see if we can get this guy extended work. But I think, you know, they've got some question marks there in the rotation that they may need to have some openers. I know Rickon spoke a little bit yesterday. I don't think they're anti-opener by any means. I think now they have some little more progressive pitching minds that are there, but now they have to worry about how are you going to fill those innings with guys like Rodon and Lopez and Kopech? You have all these guys that are not really stretched out or trusted. So now they may have to do it out of necessity, whether they want to or not.
Yeah, it's interesting. Danny La Russa is a fascinating strategist to think about, assuming that he's active, curious, energetic, on point, and all of that.
All the stuff on Ethan Katz too, though, man. Like, yeah. I do like the pitching infrastructure, and then just like the coaching staff that's been assembled seems very impressive and young and modern and like of the times. And so I think that should alleviate some of the concerns. And obviously, like, Giolito's connection to Ethan Katz and all of that stuff that's been very well documented. Like, I do think that's going to go over well and bode well for them. Let's play what Tony La Russa said on Michael Kopech, because did we hear that?
Yeah, I heard at the top, yeah.
Oh, my apologies. My apologies. That was the thought coming in. I thought there was something else. My bad. But no, just the idea of what this guy can be, he's kind of like a wild card, because they have plenty of veterans, but their young guys have so much untapped potential. Like, we haven't seen Luis Robert's ceiling. We haven't seen Eloy's ceiling. I don't even think we've seen Moncada's ceiling, and he's a little bit more of a question mark all of a sudden.
We've seen it.
It's the dancing?
It is, yeah. It's the music okay. video.
That's the ceiling.
That's anyone's ceiling. That's as good as anyone can look on camera.
My apologies.
Yeah, there's a level of pride.
That.
There's a level of pride going around right now about White Sox fandom. That's one of the swaggiest third basemen of all time. And I don't know that we realized that was in there with Moncada quite as much. I think it came out like a month ago or something like that. But you knew what Tim Anderson was. Now, in terms of left side of the infield swag, I mean, whew, it's through the roof.
Wives are not on Twitter, right? They would not have seen that.
My wife not is she has a Twitter, but she's not really on it.
Yeah, same.
My girlfriend is on Twitter, and I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Gretchen, go running? Is she going to go running?
I wouldn't blame her.
Mr. Come Steal Your Girl, man. Yeah, absolutely.
He does do that.
I don't know. It's your team is so likable. Can I get on? Is there a spot for me?
I want them to be hateable.
Oh, the manager is. Don't worry. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He helps.
Starts from the top, down.
Yeah, don't worry.
Also, all that stuff with Jace Fry doesn't seem great.
Oh, it does not seem great. Hasn't really been mentioned.
Hey, if we want to hate somebody, Jace Fry and Tony La Russa.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
That's who we trot out there to make the public hate the White Sox.
Who do we have? What North Side hateability? The hateability factor on the North Side. Who do we got? I mean, other
than your hat, Pedro Strop.
Oh, my God. No, I guess.
You have the whole operation.
Oh yeah, you have ownership.
You've got money and just like what the makeup of the team is and the moves low expectations all of those sort of things.
Okay,
don't forget about that.
So there's that. There's the overarching direction of the organization, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, versus Jace Fry. So that's versus, on one side.
Yeah. That's why I feel like even with Tony La Russa, it's the South Side team is much more likable and enjoyable. We're gonna be watching a lot of them this summer.
The likability of the White Sox has taken a dent, especially among White Sox fans. It is remarkable to watch, to me. And it's just like, you know me, man. I'm choose positivity, dude. There's a lot of people choosing negativity about an org and a team that is so freaking exciting and was the best thing about Chicago sports last year and is railroading up, and they assigned the only reliever to even get 3 years, and he's the best reliever, and yet the negativity about the spending and some of the other stuff and the manager and the structure is, whew, it is large out there.
My experience with White Sox fans is they'll always find something to be negative about. And so that is just kind of the way of the world. And they need to get to opening day.
Just so get me to opening day.
Seriously.
Just get me to the playoffs.
Just get to opening day.
Nah, we'll complain about that if we can't get in the ballpark.
All right.
We'll hate opening day.
Yeah, because this will be the opening day that it's 65 and sunny when you're not able to go. So fair enough. You'll find something to complain about. But get to opening day because then the team, they start winning, they start mashing, they start talking, everything gets likable again, and you realize that, oh, maybe the La Russa thing's not as big of a deal, and oh, this team is still really good, and they're going to be buyers at the deadline. You just need Bob Nightingale to stop writing and talking, and you just need to start playing baseball games. And I think a lot of the negativity will ramp down about
Bob Nightingale, USA Today and Radio.com.
When did Rick Hahn find out that Tony La Russa had been arrested for DUI?
I don't think until the day it came out. Well, let me backtrack. I'm not sure exactly when he, you know, did tell Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams. And I might be misspeaking here. I mean, maybe he told them at the very beginning of the process. Reinsdorf kept that quiet to himself. And I don't know if anybody in the White Sox organization had any idea either.
Wow, that's well done.
What the hell?
That is an excellent job of collecting the subconscious mind as it wonders what is the right thing for him to say to keep the access. Sorry.
It's definitely that. But it's all. He's a reporter.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
He's not.
Yes, he is. The first answer was the right answer. He gave you the real answer. Then all of a sudden, he realized it might be an issue. That's remarkable.
Jerry texted him.
No, I think he felt he was started listening to the conversation he was a part of. All of a sudden.
It's a weird thing, man. You write in a major newspaper. Oh. He told no one. Then you say it, and then you stop saying it. I have not been a part of something quite like that. Like it was dizzying yesterday, and that
I don't
is
think
really
until
good.
The day it came out. Well, let me backtrack. I'm not sure exactly when.
See, I never just did things just to do them. Come on, I mean, what am I gonna do? Just all of a sudden, just jump up and grind my feet on somebody's couch, like it's you know something to do. Come on, I got no more sense than that. Yeah, I remember grinding my feet on Eddie's couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done. Well done. F your couch. That is Bob Nightingale in a nutshell. Speaks next to me. Hey, you got to let me talk about fill in the blank. I'm like, dude, no. You, whatever you want to do.
Why did I say that?
You just texted. That was the thing you texted me. You got to let me get to, what was it? Hold on a second.
It's not me.
Yeah.
This is good, especially when we have a meeting that goes a lot of this. Yeah.
I inferred that. Well, okay. Yeah, my bad.
What?
My bad.
What's happening?
Are you okay, Danny?
No, he's not. Ever since the microphone cord came out of the microphone.
Maybe Mitch needs to tweet again asking SOS for Danny.
Very scatterbrained today, boys. Thank you for putting up with me and carrying me.
But seriously, where did the text in your head come from?
No, he did text me, Bulls sometime in the four, question mark.
Are you having Daniel PTSD?
It's true. I have responsibility to a co-host at another time. I'm messing it up. I missed Matt. No,
just move forward. We are moving forward side by side, aligned here on day 9 of season 2 of Parkins and Spiegel. The Iron Man streak rolls forward, sir.
Nope. No matter how bad I am, I think they're going to let me back for day number 10. I hope. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
This is in the air to right field. Back it goes. Nando has done it again. Fernando Tatis Jr., a grand slam. And the Padres go on top 14-3. Two home runs, 7 RBIs for Fernando Tatis Jr.
You know, some jackass traded Tatis.
Good. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score. My brain melted down in the last segment, but Spiegs and I, through the power of texts and being of above average intelligence, figured it out. At the end of the 3 o'clock hour, you said, you got to let me talk about Tatis. You didn't text it, but you did say let. It doesn't matter. Fernando Tatis, he's rich. He just signed a 14-year What was it, 320?
340.
Million? 340.
340. Yeah.
340 for Fernando Tatis, which I just, my takeaway on that, the first thing I thought was that is so great for the San Diego Padres. Like they, I know they're trying to be like the San Antonio Spurs model. They've talked about being the only professional sport team in that city and trying to make the whole city proud of it and really running it like a tier one class A organization. It's just proof that no matter what your market size, you can afford the mega deal. And the fact that a top 10 player in the sport is committing his entire prime to a small media market on the West Coast and they're paying him market value, I just think that's a very healthy thing for baseball. I was just happy to see the match be extended for basically his entire career.
I understand that takeaway. Absolutely. My first thought was, wow, that seems early to go that big. I believe the biggest pre-arbitration years contract became in vogue after Evan Longoria and the Tampa Rays started doing it, 15 years ago, was Mike Trout's at $144 million. This is $340 for a guy who has not hit his arbitration years. I'm like, why would they do that so early? And then there's been a lot of analysis about that. I mean, he's no doubt a remarkable player, without a doubt. I saw a couple things. Before I get to the aspect of it that I was mentioning, I wanted to mention this stat I saw from Dave Schoenfeld, that 10 players have led baseball in wins above replacement at age 22, as Fernando Tatis just did. Okay? So this it's only 10 players have done it. Ted Williams, probably worth $340 mil. Ty Cobb, yes. Stan Musial, yes. Alex Rodriguez, yes. These are guys at age 22 who are as good as they were as good compared to their peers as Fernando Tatis. Cal Ripken, Mike Trout, Johnny Bench, Rogers Hornsby. That's an amazing list. It's an amazingly outstanding list. And there's two other guys on there who I don't think would have been worth 340. One is Bryce Harper, who has fallen off not a lot, but enough to make it questionable.
He just signed for 330.
It's true. So, but Bryce Harper after age 22, and the other is a guy named Pete Reiser who got hurt. And that's a really interesting story for anybody who wants to look that up. But everybody else on that list, you'd be like, okay, that makes sense for a 22-year-old. So projecting Tatis to be worth it is not as out of line with historical context as people might have thought.
To be honest, I didn't even flinch at that. Because it's what you want. Like he's a superstar position player at a position of need who moves the meter, right? He sells tickets. He sells merchandise. He's attractive to young fans.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy who could be on the cover of video games and just he's
on the cover of video games.
Is on the cover of video games this year.
Yes, thank you. My point is, that is the exact guy you want to build your franchise around. And sure, if for some reason his game felt like, what's the worst case scenario? That over the course of his career, he performs like a $220 million player instead of a $340 million player? Like, there's no way that guy is going to be bad and you're going to regret having him on your team. It's impossible.
Well, I wanted to make sure we talked about this aspect that Kenny Rosenthal dug up and wrote about less than an hour ago. And that is when Fernando Tatis got traded. I don't know if you guys remember, but he was once a member of the White Sox and then was traded for
who's this now?
A 35-year-old pitcher by the name of James Shields.
But they were going for it, Speaks.
They were.
Yeah, Tatis, that's a guy that could have been on the White Sox.
He could have been. You know what? Then you wouldn't have Tim Anderson to enjoy. So
No, you for sure would.
You'd have him in center. You'd have Anderson in center.
The old Hawk thing. Where is he going to play?
So Tatis gets traded in July of 2015. Okay. Or that's when he signed with the White Sox, I should say, for $700,000. Traded in June of 2016. He had earned less than $800,000. And at that point, he was approached by a former big league pitcher named Michael Schwimmer, who owns a company called Big League Advance. You ever hear of Big League Advance? I had not heard of it. I've heard of concepts like this, but I think you can probably guess where this was going. Big League Advance uses a proprietary algorithm to value every player in the minors, and they offer players a lump sum in return for a percentage of all of their future earnings. All of it, forever. And like there's a flat number, $50,000 for every 1% of the future professional earnings. If players wanted to sign a deal for 5%, they get $250,000. If they want to sign a deal for 10% of their future earnings, they get $500,000. Rosenthal doesn't know, but straight ahead guesses that Fertitta chose 10%. It's a guess. And for that 500,000, if he chose 10%, for the $500,000 that he got at that point when he was 19 years old, he would now owe big league advance $34 million over the course of his contract.
And what service did they provide
him? Is this a student loan payment?
It's worse. Yeah,
what the hell?
This is a predatory loan program that the former big leaguer has established to take advantage of minor leaguers. If they never reach the big leagues, Danny, they don't have to pay the money back. So they have this algorithm to predict the players, and he's quoted in here. He's quoted in here as saying, this is a big win for all parties involved. It was a scary thing to make him an offer, Fernando Tatis Jr. He was an A-ball. He wasn't even a top 40 prospect. It was scary for a guy in A-ball, but we trusted our model, trusted the process, and it's great that it's proving out. So they're backpatting themselves for giving $500,000 to Fernando Tatis at the age of 19, and they as a company will make $34 million of his money over the course of the next 14 years.
Definitely seems predatorial.
It is. It reminds me of when the NFL strike was on and those NFL players were approached for deals like this. Here's a lump sum and you just give me a percentage of everything you make when you get back or that kind of thing. I didn't know big league advance existed, but you know, they're betting on guys to make it. It's interesting that if they don't make the majors, they don't get their money. So they're trying to predict. They're playing stock markets with people's lives, essentially.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to do that.
This sounds like Black Mirror.
really does.
Fernando Tatis Sr. Like I wonder how sometimes these stories are like they feel like a little bit more predatorial. Like we talk about the draft pick compensation and stuff like that for international guys who I'll take it, I'll sign, I need the money, right, coming from the Dominican Republic or Cuba and places like that, whereas, like, the American players have more of an infrastructure in place, and they often are not as taken advantage of with the signing bonuses by big league teams. So I know the family is from the Dominican, but I guess I'm a little surprised that, given his pedigree, that he would kind of be in a position to feel like he needed to take that gamble against himself.
He said he used the money. He was interviewed in 2018 about it. He said he used the money to upgrade his training regimen in the U.S., but also the off-season practice field in the Dominican. And at the time in 2018, when he was interviewed, said he was, quote, not afraid that the deal with big league advance might cost him a big chunk of his future innings. Quote from Fernando Tatis Jr. at the time, if I'm a successful player and make big money, I'm not going to care about giving that money away. That will be nothing if I make all that big money. So it's true.
You're wrong.
It's true.
You're wrong.
As long as he is judicious with everything else. But we know taxes are going to do something. And we know that after that, that's a big percentage. And that's pre-tax, right? Is that how that works? That you have to give them the money and then they pay the taxes on what they got from him, right? Because it's their earnings.
They'll
pay the taxes. Yeah,
but he'll probably set it up where it comes out of his paycheck, right? So like if he's giving 3% to his baseball agent, that comes out of his paycheck before he sees it. Then his taxes come out of his paycheck before he sees it. And then my guess is he'll have it set up where this 10% comes out before he sees it. So he'll be actually pocketing like 40 cents on the dollar, but 40 cents on $340 million is a lot of cents. But yeah, that sucks. I am interested. I will read that story. This is the first I'm hearing of it too. I wonder what their capital is. Like how many guys are doing this? Like do they have 50 million liquid to pay these players? Do they have five? Like how many guys are they taking bets on?
Yeah, he said Schwimmer said that the amount that they offered, this insane, gigantic amount of money they offered Fernando Tatis, says Schwimmer, was a very large portion of our portfolio. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So they were just like an early Bitcoin investor who went all in and then years later get lucky.
But it was humans. The Bitcoin was humans. Danny, it's made of people.
Is this predatory, or is this just a group of guys that are taking a chance on somebody just like you would at a casino or betting the stock market?
From their perspective, they feel like it's that because they are losing money. If Fernando Tatis never made the bigs, they'd never get their money back. And I'm sure that's happened with some guys. But all they need is one. It's like me on Super Bowl day. I get Gronk with a first touchdown. I miss the other nine bets. I'm doing fine.
That's why I don't think it's predatory. If you're forcing them to pay money back even if they don't make the bigs, then I think it's predatory.
Uh-huh.
But if you're not requiring that, then I think it's just guys betting the stock market, playing the casino, and playing the slots and see what happens.
That's probably how they can sleep at night. You know, unlike Lance Armstrong, who seems to be able to sleep at night no matter what. But these guys probably have found a way to sleep okay.
No, I mean, and you're right, Shane. Like, that's he signed a contract, and he got an advance, and he got an advance when he needed the money, and it's a bet. So you're right. Predatory is probably a little harsh. It worked out poorly for him. Like, that's tough ROI. 2 years? Right. You said he at 18. Oh, so 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He could argue that the investment he made in himself early on is what put him in this position later on today. You know, to be able to
absolutely.
Afford
it. It's how you'd have to justify.
A training regimen. Hired a personal trainer. Look at his body. Look at his athleticism. Working on the field in the Dominican. Maybe other guys have come up after him. He's got a little brother in the White Sox system still. I know Marco.
Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah Tatis is.
I think it was Hector Gomez, who we all respect his opinion and sources. He said he believes he's as talented as Fernando.
Oh, there you go. Me and Bruce asked Marco Patti about Elijah Tatis on Inside the Clubhouse about a month and a half ago.
Hector Gomez is ducking me, by the way.
He still
follows me on Twitter. I don't know why, because I give him crap all the time. And then I told him, hey, come on the station to discuss, and he won't respond anymore.
You know what? Send him a direct message. Send him Danny's letter to Deshaun Watson. Since our guy Paul Conrad won't do that, what the hell's up with Conrad? First of all, he asks for snow, says he loves it, and now it will never stop snowing. I blame Conrad. Second of all, he's still the only one of us being followed by Deshaun Watson, and yet he refuses to send the dude a direct message trying to sell him on Chicago. What kind of friend of the show is that?
For a guy who's on a morning show that is like the king of all morning show bits, you would assume he'd be game for it.
We handed him a bit. It's a beautiful bit. We manicured it. We packaged it, wrapped it. There's a big bow on it, handed it to him. But he'd rather sit in the CVS parking lot and watch his kid change a tire.
Which, in fairness, was also a good bit.
That's true.
But yeah, it's insulting, not only to bits, but to Chicago. Like, frankly, I'm surprised that Chicago hasn't turned on Paul Conrad for not helping in the recruitment of Deshaun.
It's a good question. I might be more insulted on behalf of bits than I am on behalf of Chicago, but they're both valid.
James Fox covers the White Sox. He just sent me a message saying, Fernando Tatis also, he signed for $700,000?
Yeah.
Man. That's just a bad bet, man. Signing away 10% of your future earnings when you got $700,000 up front like that.
Danny,
and how does his dad not have the money to help him?
That's the other thing.
I don't know what the relationship is, frankly. I don't know how active and present the relationship is.
Did he try that? Buying GameStop stock?
Should have thought of that.
Look, he made $700,000, and he signed it in 2015, and then...
And then 3 years later, he gave up 10% of his future earnings for another $500,000.
Correct. And he had earned less than $800,000, I guess, he had earned less than $800,000 in the majors up until he signed this deal. So, you know, he must not have.
I feel like he could have gotten the money from his agent. For less than 10%.
It's the definition of betting on yourself. It's the definition of spending $500,000 to win $290 million, basically.
Yeah, but that supposes that he would not have reached this place without any of the money. And, like, again, like when a college football player signs with an agency and they don't get – before they get drafted, the agency gives them a loan. They give them a loan at, you know, a ridiculous interest rate, but so that they have money to train and to buy nice suits for draft day and interviews and that sort of thing. So, like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like Fernando Tatis baseball lineage, you know, not the biggest prospect in the world, but a 700K signing bonus, not the littlest either.
Yes.
Feel like he had it. I feel like there was an easier way to get 500K.
Maybe
if you really needed it.
You know, kids are crazy, Danny. I don't know what you were doing around those years of your life. Maybe playing poker, smoking weed, or is that now? But it's yeah, but it's like, you know, maybe you'd already borrowed money from Pops. Maybe you'd already borrowed money from the agent.
Yeah, Pops was far from a superstar when he was playing, and he was playing in the 90s. You know,
so, yes.
You know, a utility type of guy. You know, I'm looking at his salaries now for Fernando Tatis Sr. 97, 150 grand, 170, wow. 270, 750. Then it goes up with the Expos in 01, you know, nearly 3 million, nearly 5, and over 6 million, then back to, you know, under 2 million. And that's how he finished his career. So, you know, it was a long time ago, and it's not a lot of money in terms of how we look at athletes today.
Mm-hmm.
In that
no
lens.
Question.
So, you know, but yeah, you would hope that his dad would have said, hey, that's kind of, you know, people are going to try to take advantage of you, son. You know, let's set you up with a little bit better situation than that.
I wonder, a lot of the textures, by the way, agreeing with Shane that they don't think it's predatory. It's expected value calculation when both parties have rational self-interest on the same side. I can't understand that. I'd like to know what they've raised now, Danny, because it's in 2018. If that was a big part of their capital, probably higher.
It's just such a thin line for error there when you're talking about all he has to do is make the big leagues. Like, he can be a September call up and never be back again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you know then you have to give away those earnings. You know, that seems that's. Such a risk, man. That's like it's not worth taking, I would think.
Good point from the texter. Did he call J.G. Wentworth?
Another good question.
Yeah.
That's predatory.
These are the questions. By the way, Fernando Tatis Sr., his baseball claim to fame, Tanny, you know it? I believe isn't he two grand slams in one inning, that guy?
I thought his claim to fame was being Fernando Tatis Jr.'s dad.
That might be it now, but I
Elijah's dad.
I believe he's the two grand slams in one inning guy. But I could be
We'll
wrong.
Find out that answer Boy. And hear some vintage Dan Bernstein coming up yes. on the score.
I don't know anything about Abella Danger. I assume it's Danger and it's not like Danger or something.
Yeah, it's Danger, Dan. It's Danger. He's the best. Bernstein and Rahimi had Jed Hoyer on today. Check out the podcast page. Do the radio.com rewind thing. I did not hear. I heard that conversation. I heard their transition with Mullion Hall. I heard a decent amount of the show today. But I did not hear much of their football conversation. And I'm told that. Can we pay off the tees on Fernando Tatis?
Fernando senior? Tatis did indeed hit two grand slams in one inning. I did remember that correctly. Against Chan Ho Park, both of them against the same guy. That's a rough inning. And then we proceeded to look at possible conception dates for Fernando Jr. Because wouldn't that be cool? And that was the night that Fernando Jr. was conceived. No wonder he's this good. But he was 3.5 months old at that point, was Fernando Jr. Elijah would not be conceived for another 9 months, not born for another 18. So there's your Tatis conception and double grand slam information.
I didn't know that we were looking for the conception date on Fernando Tatis Jr. This is what I miss by not being in studio.
That's right, man. And man. By the way, I keep looking down at the Twitch feed to see Tanny and Shane as opposed to just above my computer to see Tanny and Shane.
See them in person?
In person, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be weird being yes. back together again in the year 2019.
Also, Danny, Speaks is sitting in your chair.
Power chair.
Sit in the power chair.
Radio has a power chair.
I'll be in tomorrow.
Radio has a power chair.
That's right.
Can't let him get too comfortable
Feels
in
great.
That seat.
Feels great, Mike. I'm not giving it up. No way.
I bet it does. I bet, man, that is an evil dog laugh. Enjoy it while it's warm. No, but so anyway, there was a caller that I was told brought out vintage Bernstein. You want nothing kills the vibes like a good old vintage Dan.
Marty in Springfield, you're on Bernstein Rahimi on the score.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, I just got two real quick things. Number one, did you see on the Todd McShay draft board the other day, he has the Bears picking 12th and getting the quarterback from Alabama, but then what commodities do the Bears have to make that move? In regards to the move with the Bears in this predicament, then you can rip me all you want. Is I think they're going to extend Mitch a glad hand for that fifth year, and then they're all going to either open champagne bottles or they're going to back up the truck and just everybody gets canned at the end of next year. You know, we forget Mitch has gone to playoff games, you know, two of the last 3 years. So things aren't that bad. If Nagy waters things down, let Mitch do what he can do. You know, they're a playoff team. They were in the playoffs. Let's not forget that. And Watson has not been in a playoff game, and he blew the playoff game.
No! Careful!
He blew a 24-point lead.
Hold on a second.
He blew a 24.
Wait a sec. You don't want Deshaun Watson?
I don't really think that Deshaun Watson is that much of an upgrade, if any, over Mitch Trubisky.
You are out of your damn fool mind.
Seeing that
that
Matt
is
Nagy
a
is running the show.
Bad sports thought. Put no. that one away. Put
what
that in a
won?
Hermetically
what
sealed
has,
jar
won?
And put that away
Watson
and
won?
Throw that somewhere
what?
Where no one has to hear it again. If
what
you don't
Watson
think Deshaun
won?
Watson is
what
an upgrade over Mitchell Trubisky,
my question.
My goodness,
won?
Man.
The national what championship for one. The Heisman Trophy
wins.
For another.
Quarterback wins or not. He's hold on a second. Do you not – hold on. Forget what he's won. Is he better?
4-12 this year.
Is he better?
He's not an upgrade with the system the Bears have.
Oh.
No.
Oh,
okay,
yes, he is.
Marty, we're gonna send you away into the bad sports wilderness. Thank you for the call, but I didn't think we'd hear that today, that Deshaun Watson wouldn't be an upgrade over Mitchell Trubisky. That is Marty in Springfield. That's a winner. That is so far in the history of the Bernstein and Rahimi show the dumbest sports thought we've had.
Yeah, that's a bad thought.
Put it in a jar and throw it in a river and hope it never comes out.
The dumbest sports thought we've had.
Yeah. No, he's right. Yeah. He's right. Heisman Trophy runner-up and two-time Heisman finalist. Davey O'Brien Award winner. Did not win the Heisman Trophy. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
He was in a playoff game also.
Yes.
Wasn't a playoff game.
Definitely did not give up those 35 first half points to the Chiefs.
No.
Definitely did not.
No, he was a big part of the 24 that they scored in the first quarter.
24-0, yeah, lead that they had.
To take a lead. Also, I believe the second best quarterback rating of all time.
in the history of the game.
There is that
little thing. Who's first?
Pat Mahomes. Number one and number two. Within the next few weeks, I suspect, we will say goodbye to Mitch Trubisky with a final remastered, re-released Mitch album and a track. Maybe we'll just...
Hi, Mahomes. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I haven't heard from him in a long time. That's sad.
He's recovering from foot surgery.
Well, he's been texting me nonstop. You guys haven't gone to him in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Well, it's because he lost the Super Bowl. Why were you so bad in the Super Bowl?
I tried to run around, but... You guys thought I had a concussion, but really, just my toe hurt.
Sure.
I hurt my neck doing a TikTok with my dumb brother and my stupid gummy fiance.
Gummy? She's gummy.
So mean.
She's got really big gums. So my contract, hopefully, we're going to operate on her gums.
You got dental? You got dental insurance, maybe?
No.
It's a problem.
There's fat cash.
Oh my God!
I got insurance on our gums.
Yeah, let's
State
just,
Farm
yeah.
insurance.
Let's break, right?
Yeah.
Hey, need to rep. Yeah.
Need to rep.
Fat Mahomes. Fat Mahomes needs to rep.
All right. The two scenarios facing the Bears now that Carson Wentz is gone are the two realities they need to confront. And then if you miss Kyle Hendricks, we'll bring that back as well. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.